Good morning to everyone. Good morning. I just heard the end of Dr. Josh's shiur, and I understand that you dealt a little bit with Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz during Corona, who can eat, who cannot. And my topic is not directly connected to it, but I can't say that it's not connected indirectly. In the last few days, various Piskei Halacha came out regarding Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz during the era of Corona. And from this perspective, there was two kinds of Piskei Halacha, if I can divide them. One said, we spoke to doctors, and we spoke to medical professionals, especially those that are experts in infectious diseases, and they said A, B, and C. And the other school of thought said, we didn't talk to doctors, we looked in the Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha, and we remembered the famous cholera epidemic in which Rabbi Yisrael Salanter told everyone to eat on Yom Kippur, and we paskined A, B, or C. I have to admit I was rather surprised by the second school of thought, because the second school of thought is basically claiming that whatever was done 100 years ago should be done today. And that's our Mesorah, and that's tradition. Namely, if the Gdolei Yisrael in the 19th century said something, then in the 21st century, we have to listen to it. And I have to admit, I think that that's totally against the Jewish tradition. It may be a tradition, but not a Jewish one. It may be nice, but it's not what the halacha and what the Torah tells us to do. So in order to get into this topic, allow me to begin with the source from last week's Parsha, Parshat Balak. In Parshat Balak, one of the beautiful, beautiful blessings that Bilam gave us was Kimirosh Tsurim Erenu Umigvara Umigvaot Ashurenu. Namely, I could see you from the top of the mountains, explains Rashi. Animistakel Bereshitam Uvitchilat Sharashehem. I look at their beginning and at their sources. Vani were Eltam Miyusadim Vichazakim Kitsurim Vigvalot Halalu. And because I see them from not only the present, but what came before them, the grandparents, then I see that they're as hard as a rock. In other words, what this beautiful blessing is telling us is that we didn't come in from the cotton fields yesterday, but rather, we're standing on the shoulders of those that came before us. Namely, I'm not religious today, and had the privilege of being a Shomer Torah Mitzvot, or at least aspiring to it, without looking back at my parents, my grandparents, and all the generations before me, upon whose shoulders I stand. So there's definitely importance in Judaism to the fact that you are continuing this beautiful tradition. But I don't believe that that means that you mimic it, that you transplant it, but rather you continue it. And we'll see the difference in a moment. So, in the last few weeks in Israel, when Corona was not that strong, there was a big controversy. And that was, should a certain rabbi, a big rabbi, a huge Talmud Chacham, whose books almost everyone learns, meet publicly with a Reform rabbi and speak? Or is it terrible because in the 19th century, the great Gedolim said to stay away from them and never to sit with them? Or even in the 20th century, in 1955, there was a very famous Psak Halacha. Upon it, all the Gedolei Yisrael, almost, of that generation signed. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav David Lifshitz, and many others, who said that you cannot sit with the Reform and the Conservative. And Rav Soloveitchik didn't sign it, and he had a whole different point of view about when you sit with them, what you should do. So certain rabbis came out against this particular meeting and said that since the Gdolei Yisrael in the past generation said not to, we can today. And one of the psukim they quoted was a pasuk from Shira Ta'azinu. Does everyone remember Shira Ta'azinu? Shira Ta'azinu, I have to admit, is what I call a make mitzvah. You see, we always read Ha'azinu either between Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, or between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So nobody, almost nobody, actually learns it, because we're busy with buying a lulav and esrog and building the sukkah, and then if there's a Shabbos of Hazinu in between, then of course we deal with Hilchos Sukkah, Hilchos Lulav, Hilchos Yom Tiv. I would say that Ha'azinu is not something very much learned, and it's a song, so it's difficult. So, I feel today we're going to do a very big tikkun gadol, and we're going to learn a pasuk. Zechor yemot olam binu shnot dor vador. Look back and remember the generations of old. Learn, generation to generation, what they did. And not only learn it and know it, it's not just a history lesson, but rather, sha'al avicha v'yagetcha, ask your father and he shall tell you, zekeinecha v'yomulach. The rabbis and they'll tell you. So what should you do according to this pasuk? You should always look back to tell you what to do today. That's what certain people quoted. I have to admit that even though Ha'azinu is extremely important, that's not what Chazal understood the pasuk tells us. If you look at the next source on the page, Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara says that when you light Chanukah candles, you make a bracha. Now, does anyone here know why the Gemara had to tell us that? That's like saying when you wake up, you open your eyes. When you drive the car, you should put your hand on the steering wheel. Why does the Gemara tell us, oh, when you light Hanukkah candles, make a bracha first? We make a bracha before almost every mitzvah. Why isn't the Gemara had to tell us it? Anyone have a guess? Yes, yes, Harold, don't it's okay. Unmute yourself. I can't hear you if you don't unmute. Harold, you're on mute. So unmute and we'll hear your answer with pleasure. I think it's the bottom left of your screen.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Because the Sivado Lahadik Ner Shofanaka, who commanded us to do it, wasn't a Kaddish Baruch Hu because it was during Vayishini.
Correct. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah derabanan. So therefore, how can you say, God, you have commanded us to do this? And the Gemara gives two answers. One of the two answers is our pasuk, Sha'al avicha v'yagetcha zekenecha v'yomulach. Since we have an obligation to ask our elders and to ask the past generations, since they told us, the Chachamim, to do it, it's like God told us, because God in His Torah told us to listen to the Chachamim. So that's one way the pasuk is darshaned. However, I want everyone to understand, I don't belittle Shirat Ha'azinu, because the Rambam says in Hilchot Tmidin Musaf, in the next source on the page, that Ha'azinu was read every single week in the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody knows that when the Korban Tomit Shoboker was brought, so the Kohanim brought the Korban, the Leviim sang the Shir Shel Yom, and the Yisraelim davened that the Korban should be accepted by God. Now, when they brought the Korban Tomit Shel Boker on Shabbos, what Shir Shel Yom did they say? Take a wild guess. Don't think too hard. Take a wild guess. Which Shir Shel Yom of all of them did they say on Shabbos morning? Arthur, you in Shul Shabbos? This Shabbos, be careful with Shul. But if you were in Shul on Shabbos and you were awake, Mizmor Shir,
Liyoma
Shabbos. And Arthur, you don't have to look at me. You don't have to look at your brain and remember what you did last Shabbos. You look at the source sheet. It's right there. I'm one of the worst teachers in the world. I ask questions and I give you the answers before I ask them. Well, that's Korban Tomit Shel Boker. Then Bruce is on duty because he's a Kohen. And after Harold brought the Korban Tomit Shel Boker and the Levi sang Mizmor Shel Liyoma Shabbos, you brought a Korban Musaf. Uveyom HaShabbos Shnei Chvasim B'nei Shana Temimim, which Irving is a beautiful song. It's also a pasuk. In any case, this beautiful song or pasuk says you bring a Korban Musaf. So what Shir Shel Yom did they say on the Korban Musaf? Says the Rambam, B'musafei Shabbos Omrim Shirat HaAzinu V'cholkin Oto L'shisha Prokim Haziv Lach. Rosh Tevot Haziv Lach meant that every 6 weeks we read this pasuk. Zechor Yemot Olam Binu Shnor Tor V'Tor. They divided Ha'azinu into 6 parts every 6 weeks again. So we're talking about a very important part of the Torah, and I don't belittle it. But it doesn't mean that in the 19th century, Rabbi X asked the medical experts, and he said, if there's a disease, don't fast. That's what you have to do in the 21st century. when it's a different disease, when reality changed, when we have other experts today that say, today we learned that it's different. So, important to remember two things. Number one, we stand on the shoulders of those that came before us. And number two, it doesn't mean to mimic, to transplant, as we're about to see. But I could see that Bruce would say, all right, I don't have to, but I will. In other words, I don't want to meet with conservative reform Jews. So it's like, you know, convenient for me to say, I'm not going to meet with them because the Chasam Sofer said not to meet with them in the 19th century. Or in the 20th century, the great Gedolim I mentioned said, you shouldn't meet with them. I would like to suggest today that relying on a precedent only in Jewish law is forbidden. Forbidden. And the person that I am about to quote, all the Makaros almost that you're about to see, I heard and read from Rav Herschel Schechter, which I don't believe anyone on this Zoom believes is a sort of light Orthodox Jew. Okay, we're talking about one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of our generation. During Corona, he's one of the major poskim. And quite frankly, I don't know how we would get through this terrible time without his guidance, amongst others. But let's see what I mean. If you look at the first source under the word Makor, you'll see that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says something very important about Jewish lore and law. It says, as we say in the Kabbalah Shabbos, Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Korei Shmo. In the same pasuk we mentioned Moshe and Aaron, and the Navi, Shmuel. Says the Gemara, Shakala katuv shlosha kale olam kishlosha chame olam. Lomar lecha, Yerubaal bidoro ke Moshe bidoro. Bidan bidoro ke Aharon bidoro. Yiftach bidoro ke Shmuel bidoro. The Gemara says that if you live in a generation, and in that generation there's a Talmid Chacham, don't say, well, he's not as great as the Chasam Sofer. He's not as great as Moshe Feinstein. He's not as great as Rabbi Akiva Iger, the father-in-law of the Chasam Sofer. By the way, everybody here knows that the Chasam Sofer's second marriage was to the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Iger, and his father-in-law was either 1 year older or 1 year younger than him. That was father-in-law, son-in-law. Very interesting relationship. Make a long story short, the Gemara says, if you're living in 2020, you don't go to the kever of the dead rabbi. You don't go only to his Sfarim, but rather you go to the Talmid Chacham then, and this is not just a notion of the Gemara, they quote a pasuk of the Chumash. Uvata, Ela Kohanim, Halivim, Ve'ela Shofet Asher Yiyeh Bayamim Ahem, Ve'chi Yitaleh Adatcha, Sh'adam Holech Etzal Hadayan Shelo Haya B'yomav. What do you think? That a person goes to a dead person? Bottom line is, you have a shayla, you go to a rabbi that can answer it. So either the rabbi knows or doesn't know. But if the rabbi is not alive, you're not going to go to the kever of Moshe Feinstein and say, I have a shayla. And then you walk out, I got an answer. I know there's a certain sect out there that says that if you have any question, you open up the Igros of the Rebbe that's no longer alive, and randomly you open it up to a page and you got yourself an answer. Quite frankly, I don't know what they do when it comes to general questions. That's their business. But when it comes to halachic questions, the Gemara says very, very clearly, and I quote, Ha'en lecha lelech, ela, etzel shofet, shebeyamav. The Gemara says that if you have a shayla, go to the posek in your generation, who on the one hand has the knowledge, and on the other hand has the reality. And ask this posek, how do the two come together? How do I walk with reality and with halacha one by one? Because halacha means to walk, to go. And indeed, Chazal tell us that's what you need to do. You don't disregard the past generations, quite the contrary. The rabbi who paskins the shayla will see what they said in the past generations and will ask himself a very simple question. Does this apply equally today or not? Going further, the Rambam says that the Beis Din that sat next to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, known to us as the Sanhedrin, was the most important body to dictate Jewish law to the Jewish people. And he says something very interesting in the next source. He says that we do have an ironclad rule. The ironclad rule is that if generation one made a gezerah, say bishul akum, you can't have a non-Jew cook for you without you being involved in the cooking, either by lighting the fire or by actually putting the pot on the fire. Machloket Shulchan Aruch and Rama comes along the Rambam and says that we have an ironclad rule that if the next generation wants to annul this particular gezerah, then they have to be at least gadol bechokhma uveminyan. They have to be greater in knowledge and in number. Says the Rambam, that's true with regard to the gezeros derabanan. But with regard to a deoraisa, a biblical commandment, you can darshan it different in this generation than you did in the past generation without being limited with chokhma and minyan. In the words of the Rambam, "Ve'amad acharein beitin acher v'nirat ham acher listor oto hareza soter v'dank v'yamashen erabeinov she'nemar el ha'shofeid asheyev v'yomim ahem incha chayav lalechet ela el beitin shebedorecha." So the Rambam said explicitly, even if the Gdola Yisrael in the past generation said no or yes, you go to the rabbis today. They have the knowledge in the one hand, and they have the reality in the other. Now, so far we said you go to the rabbis in our generation. Why did I come out and say it's forbidden just to rely on a precedent? Because of something I saw in a book called the Chota Meshulash. The Chota Meshulash, literally the string of three, deals with three great rabbis, generations, of Volozhin. Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, who founded the Volozhin Yeshiva in 1802, his son and his grandson. And they all have tshuvas in this particular responsum. And I just want to read one line. Comes along Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, and he says, V'kfaru salti bezeh, v'pnei mori kodosh Yisrael Rabbeinu HaGadol HaGadon VaHachasid, Moreinu HaRav Eliyahu Mivilna. Does everybody know who he's referring to? Our great rabbi? Such superlatives is only going to be said about one Jew. Now, a Litvak usually doesn't give great praise to anyone. Okay, Litvaks, part of the Litvak way of thinking is you have to be cynical, you have to belittle. So if Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, who no question is a Litvak, brings all these superlatives about a great Gaon named Eliyahu from Vilna, you all understand he's talking about his great Rebbe. There you go, the Vilna Gaon. And what does he say the great Rebbe Vilna Gaon told him in Piskei, or how do you Paskei Halacha? Look at the line, beautiful line. He says, Shelo Lisa Panim Lahora. Behora. What's Lisa Panim? Anybody know? Lisa Panim. It doesn't mean to send your face. What does it mean? Lisa Panim is a Hebrew word for sucking up. Namely, if I go ahead and say, I can't pass Paskin against the Chassam Sofer. I'm nothing. It's true I'm nothing. I can't Paskin against Rav Moshe Feinstein. I mean, after all of us eat Hershey's because of Rav Moshe Feinstein. If he wouldn't mater Chalav Stam, we wouldn't have Hershey's. I'm going to Paskin against Rav Moshe Feinstein? Absolutely not. Says Rav Chaim Mivolozhin in the name of the Gra, if you go ahead and you say in your right mind, I can't Paskin against him, you are doing an Aveira. You know which Aveira? Anybody? I would never think about this on my own. This I had to read twice. What's the Aveira? A Dayan, says the Torah, has to be honest. And the Torah says with regard to Dayanim that they're not allowed to give favor to the rich man over the poor man. They're not allowed to show favor to one over the other. Says Rav Chaim Mivolozhin in the name of the Gra, that if you in Halacha refuse to Paskin because the Chasam Sofer said otherwise, what are you basically doing? You're sucking up! And a Dayan can't suck up! He has to be honest! If you go ahead and lisa panim and say, oh, if Abisha said it, I can't say otherwise, what you're basically doing is you're sucking up. And that's not what a dayan has to do. A dayan has to be honest. You don't suck up to a great rabbi. And if you have to suck up, don't paskin. Give it to someone else, because you don't feel comfortable. But quite frankly, says Rav Chaim Mivoloshin, this is ingenious, that just like in court you can't show favor to the rich guy over the poor guy, the great rabbi versus the ignoramus, so too in paskining halacha. So we said until now, we stand on the shoulders of the past generations, and indeed we have to show reverence to them, but quite frankly it doesn't mean that you paskin exactly like they did. Reality can change. And indeed, if you look at the next source, you'll see that many have said, you're right, the reality changed, but you're not allowed to cholek on a great rabbi. Why? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that it says in the Pasuk, lo ta'ane al riv. The Gemara darshins, Chazal added an additional level of interpretation, don't respond to a great rabbi. So if I'm sitting, say, in the room with the Gaon Rav Asher Weisschlita, and he says something, it's not Derech Eretz, and the Gemara says it might even be an Isser, to go ahead and disagree with him. So many people read this Gemara and say, oh, from here we learn, you can disagree with a great Gadol. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's any ladies here, or tell your wives when they're not busy, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that in the Sanhedrin, the small, young, whippersnapper rabbis spoke first. You know why they spoke first? Because the Sanhedrin wanted to be honest. They didn't want to kill anyone and give him a capital punishment of being killed unless he really deserves it. So, 71 rabbis sat, some young, some old, some great, some not so great, definitely great to be in the Sanhedrin, but even within the Sanhedrin there were degradations. Comes along the Gemara and tells us that in the great Sanhedrin, how did they make sure everyone spoke? They made sure to start with the youngest rabbis. And only after the youngest rabbis finished did they go to the older rabbis. Why? In order to ensure that everyone honestly gives their opinion. Because if the great rabbi gives an opinion, no one's going to speak. That's what Rashi says on this Gemara. And I quote, Lo tachlok al muflash obeitin hilkach lo matkilin minei. Because you can't disagree with a great rabbi sitting in front of you, you don't start with him, you start with the younger rabbi. Dilma chazi lechova velo palgina melevei. Because maybe you'll think the great rabbi is wrong, but it's not nice, so you just shut up. So a guy would get killed. You're not bringing a piece of evidence to save him, because I can't disagree with the great rabbi. I'm too frum for that. You see, sometimes frumkeit will kill people. And therefore, the Gemara says not to do it. The Ramah paskins in Choshen Mishpat, that you are allowed to disagree with your own Rebbe and mentor. If you have sources to back it up, Choshen Mishpat, Siman Kaf Hei, Seif Aleph, Yesh Omrim Deim Nira L'Dayan, V'Livnei Doro, if the Dayan and his generation see Ra'ayot Muchrachot, She'ein Adin Kamo Ishkiru Ba'Poskim, he has clear rayas, proofs from Gemaras and Poskim, that the great rabbi is wrong, including my own Rebbe, Yecholach Lukalov, you can disagree. And in order to bring this all together, let's tell a story. The story is from Orech Chaim, Simon Kuftet, in the first book of Responsum of Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, put out. Now everybody here knows that in America, anyone growing up in America, if Rav Moshe Feinstein said no, and you want to say yes, you didn't sleep at night. Life began and ended with Rav Moshe. And Baruch Hashem, we were zochet to Rav Moshe. I was alive, even though I'm pretty young in this Zoom. I was alive the day he died. I'll never forget it. 1986, Tanis Esther. Every single Rebbe in the yeshiva I was in America, their face was down. And at that time, I had no idea that only because of Moshe Feinstein, I can eat a Hershey Kiss. Didn't know. But it's all because of him. So, here's the great story from that Siman. You can read it as I speak. Everybody here heard of Rabbi Menashe Klein? Rabbi Menashe Klein, the author of Mishneh Halachot, 19 volumes of Responsum, a great posek in Borough Park. He mashered the Eruv in Borough Park. In this particular instance, this was the machlokas. Not earth-shattering, but a machlokas. You know, Hasidim on Shabbos don't walk out with a kippah, they walk with a shtreimel, made of fur. What is the biggest fear when you walk out with a shtreimel on Shabbos morning? Anybody?
Rain.
Arthur says rain. So many Hasidim have a very good patent. We Jews are really geniuses when it comes to patents. What do? They put a plastic bag on the shtreimel, so the shtreimel doesn't get ruined by the rain. That sounds fine. It's not an isser of ohel. There can only be one question. What's the question?
Carrying.
Mm-hmm. Can you carry? Is it carrying? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, yes, if there's no Eruv, you can't wear it. Rabbi Menashe Klein said, no, you can wear it. And he wrote an answer to Rabbi Moshe. And in the answer, he apologized for Chas V'Shalom disagreeing with the Gadol Hador. Okay? Now this is what Rabbi Moshe answers him. Everybody ready? This is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Gadol Mirabban Shmo, to Rav Menashe Klein. Hine Masha Mitnasel Kvot Torato, B'Masha Chaluk Alai B'Dvar Halacha. The fact that you're apologizing for disagreeing with me in Halacha, Hule Mutar. It is absolutely useless. I don't know why you wasted your time with it. Ki Kein Derech HaTorah Shetzarich Livarer HaEmet. When we learn Torah, we have to establish the truth. V'chas v'shalom ilishtok. And chas v'shalom should you be quiet. Misha sover she'ino kein, ben lekula, ben lechumra. And he goes on and on and on and proves from him, for him, that quite frankly, if you disagree with me, not only can you, you must, because maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, 25,000 people are doing something wrong. Lekula lechumra, whatever it might be. For example, if I go ahead and I say that you can't wear your shtreimel with this plastic bag, then ultimately I'm ruining the lives of many Hasidim, that for them walking out on Shabbos without a shtreimel is like for me walking out without a kippah. It's going to ruin their whole Shabbos atmosphere. Everybody here knows what the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said to Ben-Gurion. When the Kloisenberger Rebbe came to Israel and wanted to establish his community in Netanya, in the Laniato Hospital, he met with Ben-Gurion. In those years, you had to meet with Ben-Gurion because it was a very socialist state. Everything was controlled by the state. And without Ben-Gurion's support, it wouldn't happen. So he met with Ben-Gurion, this famous pictures. I can show you a movie of it. He took off his hat. He was very, very kind. And Ben-Gurion said, Rebbe, what do you think of our Jewish state? So you understand that's a trick question because many Hasidim don't say Halil on Yom HaAtzmaut. So the Kloisenberger Rebbe was a great Rebbe, a great Talmud Chacham, not to mention a very smart man. He looked at him and said, well, minimum Shabbos morning, I can wake up, I put on my shtreimel, my white socks, my talis, I can walk outside, and the goyim don't throw rocks at me. So Ben-Gurion also was a smart man. He looked at the Rebbe and said, and maximum, what do you aspire to maximum? So the Kloisenberger Rebbe looked at him and said, maximum? I want to see you with a shtreimel and a talis and white socks on Shabbos morning. To make a long story short, the Kloisenberger Rebbe ultimately said, for me, walking out without a shtreimel on Shabbos is unheard of. So if Rav Moshe Feinstein asks it, you're ruining the lives of endless Hasidim. So if it's usser, it's usser. But if it's mutter and you think I'm wrong, you have to say so. And lechumra, if I say you can only eat shmura matzah, or Pesach, you understand that has a lot of ramifications on your wallet, Arthur. So therefore, if you say that, you're machmir on the wallets of Jewish people. So I've quoted this tshuva many, many times, in which Rav Moshe Feinstein goes on and on and says, don't apologize for disagreeing with me, that's the Torah way. And I've been told endless times, well, with due respect, you, meaning me, I can't hold, you can't hold like Rav Moshe, but Rav Menashe Klein, Talmud Chacham, author of 19 volumes of Mishneh Halachot, and those that don't like him, by the way, you know what they call him? We Jews, when we give a shtuch, it's always terrible. You know what they call him? They say that they don't call it Mishneh Halachot, but anyone know? Mishaneh Halachot. Not nice at all. But he's a great rabbi. Me, I'm a nothing. Gentlemen, you know what Rav Moshe did for us? He wrote dates. Look at the date. Hey, Adar Tov Shin Yud Bet. The 5th of Adar, 1952. Anyone that would like, check out everything I'm about to say with Mr. Weiser, who was liberated from Buchenwald together with Rav Menashe Klein. Rav Menashe Klein in 1952 was in Pampers. He was drinking a bottle. He was a nothing. He was a young Talmud Chacham. No one knew him. And even then, Rav Moshe told him, you can disagree with me. Of course you can disagree with me. And he says, Ken Derech HaTorah Levarai Emet. You have to learn Torah with truth. So if you don't understand, you have to try to understand. And you have to do everything to understand it. And this is a story I also heard from Rav Herschel Schechter many times. Every year, a group of cardinals came to Yeshiva University. And they wanted to know, why is it in the Beis Medrash, two people are learning with each other, and they're screaming and they're yelling at each other. So this is what he quotes, and I say it in his name. He says, they didn't understand why they're yelling. The answer is because the Torah is Torah Semest. We have to look for the truth. So if you think your friend doesn't have the truth, you scream and you yell to get to the truth. But you guys, you're doing Avodah Zarah. You're Christians. The whole Avodah Zarah doesn't make sense. Immaculate conception doesn't make sense. Living a life of poverty doesn't make sense. Going ahead and not getting married doesn't make sense. So by you, you don't scream. The whole thing doesn't make sense. But we, Derech HaTorah, Levarei HaEmet. So we've established until now how important it is to be honest, and even if the G'dolei Yisrael in past generations said something, it doesn't mean you can follow it, and we even saw maybe it's forbidden to follow it. So what do we do? The answer is, we don't mimic, we don't transplant, we continue from where they left off. Let's look at a beautiful Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah. Next source. Ha'over lifnei ha'teva v'tar yavor acher tatach. Minayin hu matchil mitchinat ha'bracha sheta'a. The Medrash brings the halacha that if you have a chazin that made a mistake, let's say in the middle of the Amida, then a chazin comes up to switch him from the place that he made the mistake. He doesn't have to begin from the beginning. U'me'echan lamdu. And then the Medrash says, well, where they learned that, that you only go ahead and switch him from the place he made a mistake. Me'avot ha'olam, they learned it from our patriarchs. And listen to what the Medrash says, and this is where Rav Herschel Schechter quotes in his introduction to his book, Be'ikvei Hatzon. Avram birech et Yitzchak minayin dechtiv vayiten Avraham et kol asher lo liYitzchak. Amad Yitzchak devarech et Yaakov amar mimakom shebasak. Abba, misham ani matchil. So, Avraham told, the pasuk says, Avraham told Vayitain. Avraham told Yitzchak, Vayitain Avraham et kol asher lo liYitzchak. So now Yitzchak is the patriarch. He's now blessing his Yaakov. Where is he going to begin from? Exactly where his father left off. His father left off at Vayitain. What does Yitzchak say? Many people say it on Motzei Shabbos, Vayitain lecha Elokim, mitar ha-shamayim, etc., etc. Makom shepasak abba, sham ani matchil. Tradition means, I continue. Don't transplant, don't mimic, don't go ahead and impersonate, continue. And the Medrash goes on and said the same thing with Yaakov, the same thing with Moshe, onwards and onwards. We read Vizot HaBracha Asher Beirach Moshe on Simchas Torah. The reason Moshe started at Vizot is because Yaakov ended with the word Zot. So again, you don't go ahead and transplant, you continue. Going on to the next source on the next page, the Sfat Emet explains as follows. There's a famous Medrash that says that every single Jew has to say, Matai Yagiu Ma'asai Lemasei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. When are my actions, thoughts, life get to the level of the great former generation? We all know that we in Judaism do say many, many times, we should only be like our great-grandparents in Europe. In Europe, everything somehow was perfect, and we're not perfect. We know that wasn't perfect in Europe today, but that's what they tell us. And it's not stam. It's buttressed in sources, like the one I just quoted. Matai yagiu ma'asai lemasei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. So says the Sfas Emes, one of the Rebbeim from Gur, the Sfat Emet. He says in the name of his Admor Adoni Zaken Mori V'Rabizal, he says in the name of his grandfather who was the Gera Rebbe before him, B'shem Rav Zalmi Pshischa. The Rav Zalmi Pshischa was the founder of the Gera Hasidim, almost. They split, but one of the founders. La'olam Yomar Da Matai Yagiu Ma'asai Ma'asai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov Kimei Peti Yachshov Yitamot Atzmo La'avot HaKadoshim. Does anyone really think that he can be like Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? Avram, the whole world was Oved Avodah Zarah. He was the only one not. We're not at that level. We're all Jews, religious Jews, believe in monotheism. So who's stupid enough to think he's going to be like the past generations? Rakapeirush. But the interpretation is Shelo Yeh Nifrad. Namely, you don't start a new religion. You don't say, everyone was wrong, I know better. You continue. You continue from where they left off. If they said electricity you can put on Yontiv, and today electricity changed, or we know more about it, we continue. They said it was okay. We know today the way electricity works, and therefore it's not okay. Or vice versa, whatever it might be. In other words, that in Tchias HaMeitim, when your great-grandparents will come back, they may have ate schmaltz with chopped liver on Shabbos. You eat salmon with chrein on Shabbos. They don't know what you're eating. You don't know what they were eating. They think you're nuts. Fish only cats eat. You think they're nuts. They're putting golf balls in their arteries. However, when you say lichvod onik Shabbos Kodesh, that you're eating it in honor of Shabbos, they'll say, oh, so it's the same girl but a different dress. It's the same idea, just a different menu. I got it now. What am I quoting, word for word? The famous Gemara about Moshe Rabbeinu that went up to Shemayim, and he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, why are you putting the tagim, the crowns, on some of the letters? On the letter Shatnes gets, we put crowns, called tagim, in the Torah. Shin, Ayin, Tov, etc. So he said, because in one generation there's going to be a great guy, his name is Rabbi Akiva, and he's going to doresh these crowns. So Moshe asked to see him. So Kodesh Baruch Hu put him in a time machine to the future. It's back to the future, in this case, number two, to the future. And Rabbi Akiva is giving a shir. And Moshe Rabbeinu is listening and listening, and says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nish Fashtanin Avart, I don't understand one word he said. Finally, they asked Rabbi Akiva, why do we have to have black straps for our tefillin? And Rabbi Akiva said, there's no good reason, Alocha le Moshe mi Sinai. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, now I know what he's talking about. So we don't go ahead and mimic. We continue from the place they left off. Everything develops. Life changes. But Shelo Yeh Nifrad, we shouldn't be totally different. So let's see if I'm correct. Let's sum up for today and say, one second, Arthur, it's important to know we didn't come in from the cotton fields. We stand on the shoulders of the past generations. However, not only is it okay for us to disagree with the past generations, it seems we must. And according to Rav Chaim Mivoloshin, if you don't, and that's your only reason, then quite frankly, you are showing favoritism, which is forbidden. You're showing favoritism to the last generations. That's forbidden when you paskin. And we saw that indeed we do not mimic and transplant. We go ahead and continue from the place they left off. So, sake of argument, They left off at, is a light bulb considered mavir on Shabbos versus a fluorescent bulb versus electricity? We are going to continue. There's new inventions. There's LED bulbs, smart houses, and we continue. We don't go ahead and just transplant. We translate. Yes, Arthur, you had your hand up.
Yeah, two questions. One, does the same apply for Minhag? In other words, do we re-examine things such as if there was a takana regarding kidney, for example? Do we re-examine it, saying, well, we're not afraid that there might be flour that we wouldn't know didn't come from wheat or whatever, and therefore we should be allowed to eat kidney oat? Or how do we continue this? In other words, do we ever say that perhaps they were totally wrong because they misunderstood?
The answer is that when it comes to anything, both answers are correct. I don't like people that say, I know better. But rather they look at the past generations, they ask themselves, has reality changed? Yes or no? Was the minhag a minhag betot? Or was the minhag good for their times and not for our times? And kidney oat is a very good example. First of all, kidney oat is one of the only examples of a gezeira done after the Gemara was sealed. We say today, en gozrim gezeirot bizman hazeh. We don't make new gezeirot. Ulevai, shishmeru amashiyesh. And we should be so lucky that we just keep what already is on the books. So kidney oat was an example that ruins that rule, because we have takanot today. What's takanot? Takanot means social welfare of the Jewish people. So say, Arthur, you want to fix the 6 million that were killed by Hitler, yimach shemo? So you're going to get married to 10 wives and have 500 children. It's a very frum thing to do. Came along Rabbi Gershom Miragola and said, bigamy out. Not because it's against frumkeit, for the social welfare of the Jewish people. That's a takana. What's a gzeira? A gzeira means, a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't write 2 letters on Shabbos, a Chachamim said even 1. Right? A Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't take a branch off a tree, the Chachamim say, don't write an animal. Why don't write an animal? Because an animal, you can't talk to it, you can't press on the gas pedal, the only way it can go faster is how?
You hit it.
How are you going to hit it? With a whip. Where do you get a whip from? The tree. You may take off the branch to whip the animal to go faster on Shabbos. And onwards and onwards. That's a gezeira. So kidney oat is a very unique gezeira because it's way after the Gemara and it was a gezeira. So that's number one. And number two, with regard to minhagim per se, indeed, this is one of the most, I would say, fascinating parts of Jewish law. When it comes to the Oraisa, we learned the Rambam, they can disagree. When it comes to the Rabbanan, only if they're gadol, if they're greater, the chokhmah of the minyan, in knowledge and in number. When it comes to minhagim, which should have been the bottom of the list, you would have said, no problem. It turns out that maybe it is a problem, you may have to do a Torah Sedarim. But you have to definitely re-examine. But Arthur, re-examine doesn't mean, they didn't know. Re-examine means they were great rabbis. Let's see what they said. Let's listen. You know, God gave me 2 ears and 1 mouth. Let's use the ears more than the mouth. You know, God's giving us like a hint. Guys, you got 2 ears and 1 mouth. Use these more than use this. So you ask, why did he paskin this way? Why is there a minhag? And if you believe that it's wrong and you paskin based on choices, absolutely it's possible and it's probably obligatory to do that.
My second question, though, is when someone gives a psak halacha and doesn't give the reasons, can we simply then discount it? Because if we don't know the reasons, we can't understand the halacha.
So in the times of the Gemara, Chazal sometimes didn't give a reason because they were worried the Jewish people would say it's not a good enough reason. Like Gvinas Akum. They waited a year to give the reason because they knew if they give the reason right away, the Jewish people would say, the rabbis don't know what in God's name they're talking about. But once the Gemara was sealed, I don't believe any rabbi of stature would say, well, if they paskin without a reason, we're blinded by it. How did rabbis paskin? They wrote responsa. Have you ever read a responsa? Of course you did. We read it around this table.
Yeah, but when a responsa doesn't tell you, for example, why, and you...
No, it does. So, no. That's not true.
Not always.
Okay. In our generation, because we're living in the fast internet generation, then we have a terrible other epidemic, not as bad as Corona, God forbid, and I'm not equating, but epidemic of Jewish people, great rabbis, thinking they're holier than thou. So there's something called shut SMS. You know what shut SMS means? A guy writes on his text to his rabbi, and the rabbi says, usser, mutter, gornish, no, floor says nothing. That's not the Jewish tradition. The Jewish tradition was Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Avadya Yosef, if you want to go to the Hasidic world, the Minchat Luzel, the great Munkacher Rebbe, you can go on and on and on. They wrote a response on. There was a question and the answer. There was a Gemara. There was Polskim and their point of view. That's the way you write. You never just say, Usser, Mutter, I know better. Only in our generation we came up with this because people don't have the patience. I personally think it corrodes Jewish law and it's awful. When I write an answer, even if it's a quick, I'm in the supermarket, I write to them, Mutter, Usser, and I always write the sources. They want to look it up, they can look it up. They don't want to, they don't want to. I'm not holier than thou.
Rabbi Zeff is on the line.
Yes, Rabbi Zeff. I took 4 minutes away. I'm getting better. Just 4 minutes. But I'm going to try to get even better. Gentlemen, we're going to continue next week from this particular point. Namely, is everything I said baloney? Or can I prove it from Jewish sources, halachic sources, that relying on a precedent may be forbidden? Forbidden by Jewish law. So remember the topic. God willing, next week, I'll prove it. Everyone should have a wonderful day, and if we have to fast tomorrow, a significant day, and we should be'ezrat Hashem, have besorot tovot, yeshuot v'nechamot, and most importantly, l'rofei cholei amo Yisrael, through his shlichim, doctors and nurses, should indeed be successful in healing us from this terrible time. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.